We're talking with Dr. Paul Conant from Binghamton, a retired chemistry professor from St. Lawrence University and a longtime director of Work on Waste USA. He was speaking with our old friend Tracy Frisch this week about the Hudson Falls garbage incinerator. And while many of us view these incinerators as dinosaurs that should no longer be walking along the planet, in fact, there are 73 of these incinerators still operating in the United States, and I believe about 10 or so in New York. So Paul, what were some of the points you made about this county up in the Hudson Falls and Warren and Washington counties?
Well, it was a nostalgic moment for me, Mark, because this was after our St. Lawrence County battle, which started in 85. This was my fourth incinerator. It was St. Lawrence County, Rutland, Vermont, Claremont, New Hampshire, and then Hudson Falls. This was in 1986. I remember traveling down 91 many, many times to testify and try to stop this incinerator from being built. And there's one little bit of history which I repeated was that we said, look, you're building this incinerator near the maximum point of impact is a dairy farm. And that supplies milk and cheese, et cetera, to the whole of the area. And you haven't done an assessment as to how much dioxin you would get through the milk. And they brought in this consultant who declared that the answering this question and said the amount of dioxin you get from the milk would be about the same as you get from inhalation. Well, he was out by a factor of 1,000 in that statement, as we later showed and published. And yet the DEC, the administrative law judge, just lapped it up. And I think that brings us right up to the present. The DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, they may have some good employees, and they may do good work in protecting deer and antelope and other creatures, but my goodness, they can't have any chemists or toxicologists working for that department. They are so far behind on the science of the emissions from these incinerators. They were in 1986, and they continue to be the same in 2020. It's a disgrace.
Now, I understand that this incinerator of the 73 we have in the United States, this one's actually the worst for lead and the third worst for mercury emissions. Why should we be concerned about lead and mercury?
Well, they are toxic metals, and of course, there's no dispute that they both impact the neurodevelopment of young children. So that is very serious. But this incinerator is the number one dioxin emitter in New York State, and as you said, number two for lead and some other metals. So it's serious, but going back to the fact that the DEC is behind the times here, their monitoring of dioxin is a disgrace. They still persist on using the short-term tests when the company knows ahead of time when they're going to be measured. Those are so bogus. I mean, recent studies from the Netherlands, suggests that those six-hour tests underestimate emissions by a factor of 1,000. Do the same test on the same day and you can get 1,000 times more. It's disgusting. And another thing which upsets me is they're paying no attention to the whole issue of nanoparticles. And their attitude is, well, we don't regulate it, so we're not concerned about it. If you don't have a regulation, then there's zero risk, which is absolute poppycock, of course. And they are oblivious to the science that's coming out on nanoparticles. There was one study published last November which shows a relationship in Montreal between the number of nanoparticles in the ambient air and an increase in brain cancer. And it's minuscule. The amount of nanoparticles was 10,000 nanoparticles. That's about a billionth of a gram. In 1 cubic meter of air is related to a 10% increase in brain cancer. And the DEC doesn't even consider this, doesn't discuss it, doesn't acknowledge it as an issue. And this came up with the lithium-ion battery incinerator proposed for Endicott. The same thing, they completely underestimated the dioxide emissions, had no idea about the hydrogen fluoride emissions, producing about 100, listen to this one, you'd love this. That facility, we estimate, based upon lithium-ion battery fires, that facility is putting up 100 pounds of hydrogen fluoride an hour, but not regulated by the DEC, even though they should regulate if it exceeds 100 pounds a year. So this, we estimate, is exceeding 100 pounds of hydrogen fluoride an hour. They say no need to regulate it because they just took the sample made by the company in South Korea as gospel.
So it's sort of a two-part question. You know, my wife and I and many others were involved in, you know, shutting down the Albany Answers Garbage Incinerator 30, 35 years ago. So how do these, you know, facilities continue to operate, and what are, you know, the residents of the Glen Falls area, Hudson Falls, trying to get done?
Well, you got to hit the Andrew Cuomo over the head with this issue. Andrew Cuomo is very good on social issues. He's marvelous during the COVID, but he's not an environmentalist. And unless the political pressure builds up, like his father, nothing will be done. You mentioned the Albany incinerator. When was the Albany incinerator closed down? What precipitated the close down of the Albany incinerator? Not the thousands and thousands of people in Albany and the area complaining about the facility and the pollution. It was only closed down when Mario Cuomo found the snow in Albany was black. And he said, why is the snow in Albany black? And someone said, well, it's the incinerator over there. That's when he closed down the incinerator. So that's what we got to pray for in the middle of summer, that we get black snow, because otherwise Andrew Cuomo won't take any notice about this. You need people power.
Is this a DEC decision? Can the county up there make the decision?
Oh, of course. Yes, the county can. But, you know, it's just this horrible backlog, this final obstacle. Even when you raise the issue and the local people will do it, there isn't the substance at the DEC to do what they should do. They appear to have no conscience. And as I said, they don't have any science. But Mark, that was only half of my talk on okay. Thursday. The other half was on zero waste, a zero waste strategy, where I went through the 10 steps. And I think people liked that. It was very, very positive. And I'm saying, you know, incinerators, I've said this for years, incinerators are boring. Landfills are boring. But zero waste has so many opportunities for creativity, for an exciting thing. So even though we're dealing with small things, small bits of trash, we still need the big vision. We need politicians who can see that waste, that trash, is the connection that the ordinary person has to living in either a non-sustainable or a sustainable world. All the time we allow landfills and incinerators, we are participating in a non-sustainable way of living on this planet. But with good local leadership, leaders with vision, we can be part of a movement towards sustainability. And there's some very exciting things in those 10 steps to zero waste, which I've seen around the world.
So we've been talking with Paul Connett, former director of Working on Waste in America. But Paul, in the 45 seconds left, what is going on with that lithium battery incinerator proposal in Endicott, outside of Binghamton, you mentioned?
Well, the citizens have put an enormous amount of pressure on the mayor and the two councillors that will vote like sheep with her on every vote that's come up. But we put a spanner in the works when we showed that batteries, lithium-ion batteries, contain a PFAS, a perfluorinated alkyl substance, and the DEC is very hot on PFAS at the moment, and they put a hold on the permit until the plant does more measurements in South Korea before anything can go forward. So we're stalled at the moment, but in the interim, we're working on Andrew Cuomo to stop supporting this silly project.
Okay. Paul Connor, thank you for joining us to talk about the Hudson Falls trash incinerator, and good luck in your effort to save life on the planet.